You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, the pastor of a certain place went to assist at the deathbed of a rich man. He was dying in a splendid house, and a multitude of relations, friends, and servants surrounded his bed. But among these, the priest saw a number of devils in the shape of hounds who waited to seize upon his soul, and who actually did so, for he died in sin. At the same time, he was sent for by a poor woman who was dying and desired the holy sacraments. And not being able to leave the dying rich man, whose soul was so much in need of his assistance, he sent another priest to her, who accordingly went, carrying with him the Holy Sacrament. That priest found in the dwelling of that good woman no servants, no retinue, no splendid furniture, for she was very poor, and we may suppose had only a little straw to lie upon. But what did that priest see when he entered that abode? He sees in that apartment a great light, and near the bed of the dying person, the dying old woman, the dying poor old woman, was Mary, the Mother of God, who was consoling her and with a cloth was wiping the sweat from her brow. The priest, seeing Mary, had not the courage to enter, but she, the Blessed Mother, made a motion to him to approach. He entered, and the Blessed Mother pointed to a seat that he might sit down and hear the confession of her servant. And the poor woman then made her confession, received the Holy Sacrament with much devotion, and at last expired happily in the arms of the Blessed Mother. Can the faith of this poor old woman be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. And in this beautiful little event related to us by as related to us by St. Alphonsus Liguori, who was the true rich person in this story, in this event? Who was the one who was truly poor? For though that rich man was surrounded by all his earthly splendor, all the earthly splendor and treasures which he was able to amass, during a lifetime. Surrounded as he was by, quote, friends and relations, who were probably just as happy to see him pass away so that they can fight over the scraps that he would leave behind. As opposed to that old woman, who had nothing but perhaps some straw to her name with which to lie her weathered brow upon. A bed of straw, probably not much unlike the bed of straw with which our Savior was born and placed into in that manger in Bethlehem. Nothing of earthly treasures with which to surround her. But she had the treasure of treasures holding her hands, in a sense. The Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, the Mother of the King of Kings, who, as the priest there saw, the Queen of Heaven, with a cloth, wiping the sweat from the brow of this poor old woman, who was truly rich because she was the servant of the Blessed Mother. Who was truly rich in this story, in these events? Who was truly the poor one?
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
There are so many extraordinary books that we have as a patrimony in Holy Mother Church. The writings of Venerable Mary of Agreda, the mystical city of God. The writings of St. Teresa of Lisieux, of St. John Vianney, of St. Augustine, of St. Thomas Aquinas. Countless saints over the centuries who have left us all this extraordinary patrimony, insights into the divine. And in this book here, The Glories of Mary, as written by St. Alphonsus Liguori, there are so many extraordinary things with which he writes upon, with which he meditates upon and dwells upon, which the church, in essence, he has been echoing the sentiments and writings of the church fathers and saints and mystics before him, and in whose writings also have been used and written about and meditated upon by many of those who have come since them, since St. Alphonsus Liguori. There's this very beautiful prayer in his book with which he writes with respect to when a servant of the Blessed Mother of our Lord is on their deathbed. There's a section where he calls it as a prayer, in which he writes, "O my sweetest mother, what will be the death of me, a poor sinner? Even now, when thinking of that great moment in which I must die and be presented at the divine tribunal, and remembering how often by my wicked consent, I myself have written my own sentence of condemnation, I tremble and am confounded and fear greatly for my eternal salvation." How true in the sense, as he writes there, where he indicates that I myself have written my own sentence of condemnation. Have we not done the same through our sins and rebellion against the divine? God doesn't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. We're the ones who really sign our own, quote, death warrant when we choose sin over God. And in choosing sin over God, we are in essence choosing ourselves over God. He goes on to write, "O Mary, my hopes are in the blood of Jesus and in thy intercession. Thou art the Queen of Heaven, the Lady of the universe. It is sufficient to say that thou art the Mother of God. Thou art great, but thy greatness does not separate thee from us." How many instances with respect to earthly royalty do we see in the trappings of royalty this separation, in a sense, between the royal and we, the common people? And yet in the previous story that I related to, here we have the Queen of Heaven, the Lady of the Universe, the Mother of God, who humbled herself to take a cloth and wipe the sweat from the brow of a poor old woman whose true richness and greatness was that she had been and was a servant, a humble servant of the Blessed Mother. What royalty today, earthly, would condescend to do that to anyone of the common people? And here we have royalty beyond royalty, royalty who's almost infinitely above any earthly royalty, who out of the goodness of her heart, out of her immaculate heart, out of the love that she bears for us, because we are the one whose price was paid for, who our salvation was paid for by the precious blood of her Son. And because the price was so high, which was paid for our salvation, we also are precious in the eyes and in the heart and in the mind of the Blessed Mother. I'll continue to read through that prayer by St. Alphonsus Liguori. Again, Thou art the Queen of Heaven, the Lady of the Universe. It is sufficient to say that Thou art the Mother of God. Thou art great, but Thy greatness does not separate Thee from us. It even inclines Thee to have more compassion on our miseries. When our earthly friends are raised to any dignity, they seclude themselves from those whom they have left in a low estate, and will not condescend even to look at them. But it is not so with Thy loving and noble heart, where Thou dost behold the greatest misery, there Thou art most intent on giving relief. When invoked, Thou dost immediately come to our aid, and even anticipate our supplications. Thou dost console us in our afflictions, dissipate all tempests, put down our enemies. In a word, Thou dost never omit an opportunity of doing us good. Can you imagine any earthly royalty who truly conducts themselves as if they were the shepherd of the flock that had been entrusted to them? He goes on to write, Ever blessed be that divine hand which has united in thee so much majesty and so much tenderness, so much greatness and so much love. I always thank our Lord and congratulate myself that I can regard thy happiness and mine, thy fate and mine at one. O consoler of the afflicted, console in his affliction one who recommends himself to thee. I am tortured with remorse for my many sins. I am uncertain whether I have repented of them as I ought to have done. I see how corrupt and imperfect are all my works. The devil is awaiting my death in order to accuse me. Divine justice violated must be satisfied. Oh, my mother, what will become of me if thou dost not aid me? For I would be lost. Answer me, wilt thou aid me, O merciful Virgin? Console me, obtain for me strength to amend to me of life, or to amend and and to be faithful to God during what remains to me of life. And when I shall find myself in the last agony of death, O Mary, may my hope do not abandon me, then more than ever assist me and save me from despair at the sight of my sins, of which the devils will accuse me. O Lady, pardon my boldness. Come then thyself to console me by thy presence. Grant me this favor which thou hast bestowed on so many. I also deserve it. I also desire it. If my boldness is great, greater still is thy goodness, which seeks the most miserable to console them. In this thy goodness I trust, and may it be thy eternal glory that thou hast saved from hell a miserable wretch and brought him to thy kingdom, where I hope to console myself by being always at thy feet, to thank, bless, and love thee throughout eternity. What an extraordinary, beautiful, beautiful thought that is. What an extraordinary, beautiful prayer that is. That if you were to think of it, that the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of the universe, condescends herself to come down to the point where the struggle is the greatest, which is on your deathbed and mine. And where she does what? She comes to console her servant who is at the precipice of death. Who is holding your hand as you lie on that deathbed? If you are a servant of the Blessed Mother, who do you think is holding your hand? Who do you think is the one wiping the sweat from your brow and the tears from your eyes? If you are a servant of the Blessed Mother, it is the Queen of Heaven herself that does so. It is the Queen of Heaven herself who never abandons one of her faithful, loving, and humble servants. It is the Queen of Heaven herself who comes down to gather that extra jewel, that extra gem with which to adorn her crown, her heavenly crown. And as related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, the salvation of souls will be the jewels in the crown of the Blessed Mother. What a most extraordinary and glorious crown that is, whereby you and I, miserable wretches that we may be, when ensnared in sin, upon our conversion and upon ourselves humbly throwing ourselves at the feet of the Queen of Heaven so as to intercede for our behalf, and win for us through her intercession with her Son the graces that we need for our salvation. What a most glorious thought it is that you and I can be a jewel in the crown of the Blessed Mother, a jewel in the crown of the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Kings, the Queen of Queens, I should say, who will sit at the right hand, who sits at the right hand, I should say, of her Son. You and I, on our deathbed, whose hand do you want to be holding? Do you want to be holding the hands of the Blessed Mother? Or in spiritual rebellion and indifference, do you want to be holding the hands of Lucifer himself?
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
In that book, The Glories of Mary, as written by St. Alphonsus Liguori, he goes on to write that St. Basil teaches us that next to God, we have no other hope than Mary. And for this reason, he calls her, after God, our only hope. St. Ephrem, reflecting on the order of providence in this life, by which God has ordained that all those who are saved must be saved by means of Mary, and says to her, O Lady, do not cease to receive and shelter us under the mantle of thy protection. And he goes on to write that every blessing, every help, every grace that men have received or will receive from God to the end of the world has come to them and will come to them through the intercession and by means of the Blessed Mother. Rightly then did the devout Blosius exclaim, O Mary, who art so amiable and so grateful to him who loves thee, who will be so stupid and unhappy as not to love thee? In doubt and perplexity, thou dost enlighten the minds of those who have recourse to thee in their troubles. Thou art the comfort of those who trust in thee in time of danger. Thou dost help those who invoke thee. Thou art, continues Blosius, next to thy divine Son, the secure salvation of thy servants. Hail then, O hope of the despairing. Hail, helper of the destitute. O Mary, thou art omnipotent, since thy Son would honor thee by immediately doing all that thou desirest. St. Germanus, recognizing Mary to be the source of every blessing and the deliverance from every evil, thus invokes her, O my Lady, thou alone art my help, given me by God. Thou art the guide of my pilgrimage here on earth, the support of my weakness, my riches in poverty, my deliverer from bondage, the hope of my salvation. Graciously listen, I pray thee, to my supplications. Take compassion on my sighs. Thou, my queen, my refuge, my life, my help, my hope, my strength. St. Alphonsus goes on to write that since Mary is the mother of God and the dispenser of all good, the world may truly say, and especially those in the world who are devoted to this queen, that together with devotion to Mary, they have obtained every good thing. Wherefore the abbot of Celles said positively, he who has found Mary finds every good thing. He finds all graces and all virtues, since she, by her powerful intercession, obtains for him in abundance all that he needs to make him rich in divine grace. She gives us to know that she has with her all the riches of God, that is, the divine mercies, that she may dispense them for the benefit of those who love her. With me are riches and glories, that I may enrich them that love me. Hence St. Bonaventure says, we should all keep our eyes fixed on the hands of Mary, that through her we may receive the blessings we desire. Oh, how many of the proud have found humility through devotion to Mary. Mary is the queen of humility, and the humility of the Blessed Mother, as the saints have said, surpasses the humility of all the saints were you to put them all together. And if you were to serve the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Humility, you could not but reflect her humbleness and humility as well. And so it is through this that, as St. Alphonsus said here, oh, how many of the proud have found humility through devotion to Mary. And whereby he goes on to write, how many of the violent have found meekness through Mary? How many of the blind have found the light through Mary? How many despairing have found confidence? How many lost have found salvation? And precisely this she herself predicted when she pronounced in the house of Elizabeth that sublime canticle, "Behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Which words Saint Bernard repeats and says, "All nations will call thee blessed, for all nations thou hast given life and glory. In thee sinners find pardon, and the just find perseverance in divine grace. Whence the devout Lansbergius represents the Lord thus speaking to the world, 'Venerate my mother with a special veneration. O men,' he says, 'poor children of Adam, who live in the midst of so many enemies and so much misery, strive to honor with particular affection my mother and yours.'" Think of it, my mother and yours. What a beautiful gift also our Lord gave us at the cross, which we tend to forget and tend to take for granted. That in giving the Blessed Mother into the care of the Apostle John at the foot of the cross, he was in essence also making his mother, Mary, the Blessed Mother, our mother. Our mother to console us in times of affliction, in times of tribulation, in times of doubt. Our Lord has given us his Blessed Mother. And it seems that over the last 50, 60 years or so in the church, devotion to the Blessed Mother in the church as a whole has greatly and greatly diminished. All these various devotions that the church has as its patrimony, devotions with respect to the Sacred Heart, to the Immaculate Heart, the Blessed Mother there too, that it seems to have dissipated in the life of the church. Where what is now emphasized is social justice and all these other aspirations. The church is not an NGO, a non-governmental organization, whose mission is social justice. Quote, "The mission of the church is the salvation of souls. And there's no way we can do that as a church, as a bride of Christ, if we neglect the help and the intercession of the Blessed Mother." He goes on to say, "I have given her," hear that saint who is reflecting on our Lord speaking. I have given her to the world as an example of purity, a refuge and asylum for the afflicted. That is, I have given Mary to the world for your example, that from her you may learn to live as you ought, and for your refuge that you may have recourse to her in your tribulations. This, my child, says God, I have created such that no one can fear her or be unwilling to have recourse to her. For I have created her with so benign and compassionate a nature that she will not despise any who seek her protection, and she will deny no favor to any who ask it. She spreads the mantle of her compassion over all, and never permits anyone to go from her feet unconsoled. May the great goodness of our God then be ever blessed, who has given us this great mother and advocate who is so loving and tender. Our Lord has given to be our mother, our advocate, the one who consoles us in our times of trials and tribulations. The one our Lord has given his mother, the Queen of Heaven, to be our mother. And yet we as a church, how many times do we hear of this? How many times do we hear of these extraordinary words of St. Alphonsus Liguori in sermons in our various parishes? And it seems like in too many parishes throughout the church, we seem to get the kumbaya homily or sermon, more or less like the gospel according to Oprah, rather than the gospel according to the Blessed Mother. The gospel is seen through earthly eyes, through our weaknesses and sin, rather than the gospel as seen to the eyes of heaven. Here, as St. Alphonsus Liguori goes on to write this, I will cast myself at the feet of this mother, Mary, and prostrate there. I will not depart until she has obtained my pardon. We as a church have to go back to all these great Marian devotions, which has helped to sustain the church through her 2,000 years pilgrimage here on earth, in a sense. But it seems like all these great Marian devotions have been neglected and cast by the wayside by many in the church today, by many of the Blessed Mother's children today, where we have neglected, and many of us, many Catholics, don't even believe in the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. And many Catholics do not believe or even bother to ask for the aid of the Blessed Mother. He goes on to write, St. Alphonsus, that after God created the earth, he created two lights, the greater and the less, the sun to give light by day, and the moon to give light by night. The sun, says Cardinal Hugo, was the type of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose light the just rejoice who live in the daylight of divine grace. But the moon was the type of Mary, by whom sinners are enlightened who are living in the night of sin. Mary then, being the moon, so propitious to miserable sinners, that if any unhappy person, says Pope Innocent III, finds that he has fallen into this night of sin, what must he do? Since he has lost the light of the sun by losing divine grace, let him turn to the moon. Let him pray to Mary, and she will give him light to know the misery of his condition and strength to come forth from it. And as Saint Methodius says, that by the prayers of Mary, innumerable sinners are continually converted. And one of the titles by which the Holy Church teaches us to invoke this Divine Mother and which most encourages poor sinners is the title of Refuge of Sinners, with which we invoke her in the litanies. There were anciently in Judea cities of refuge, and criminals who sought protection in them were free from the penalty of their offenses. Now there are not so many cities of refuge, but instead of these, there is only one, and that is Mary. And not all criminals could find refuge in those ancient cities, nor for all sorts of crimes. But under the mantle of Mary, all offenders may find protection, whatever crimes they have committed. And it is sufficient for anyone to have recourse to her for protection. It is enough that we have recourse to her, he who has been so happy as to enter this city and need not speak in order to secure his safety. This fenced city, as the blessed Albertus Magnus explains it, is the Holy Virgin, whose defense is grace and glory. And let us be silent there, according to the gloss, since we may not dare to supplicate the Lord for pardon. And it is enough that we enter into the city and are silent, for then Mary will speak and will pray for us, will intercede for us. And whence a devout writer exhorts all sinners to seek shelter under the mantle of Mary, saying, "Fly, O Adam, O Eve, and ye their children, who have offended God. Fly and take refuge in the bosom of this good mother. Do you not know that she is the only city of refuge and the only hope of sinners?" Brothers and sisters, the greatest battle you or anyone on earth will fight and will have to endure is the one on your deathbed, wherever that may be and however it may occur, before the last moments of your life, which be the moments where the demonic will intensify their attacks on you, because they know they only have a little more time with which to ensnare your soul and drag it down to hell. And it is in that moment where the words of the Hail Mary come to mind: "Now and at the hour of our death, amen. Now and at the hour of our death." Brothers and sisters, whose mantle do you want to be under at the moment of your death? That of Lucifer or that of the Blessed Mother? Brothers and sisters, whose hands do you want to take at the moment of your death? That of Lucifer or of the Blessed Mother? There was a war in the Garden of Eden between the woman and the serpent. And at the foot of your bed, the hour of your death, there is another war that is being fought between the woman and the serpent. Whose hands do you want to take as you step into eternity? Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Here on Radio Maria Canada.